I had a couple here recently, and when they come up, they've been listening to my teachings, and her first statement was, I have breast cancer, and it's in my right breast, but I have listened to your teaching, and on me, you're wrong. I have no unforgiveness towards no female. I said, well, ma'am, the evidence is against you. And so Cheryl starts talking with her, and so while she's talking, I said, okay, Lord, you said in your word, any man lacks wisdom, who are we supposed to ask? The Lord. And he said he'll give us the information. Is that what he said? So I said, Lord, I need wisdom in this woman's case. And when I did, immediately the Lord says, ask her if her husband has ever committed adultery on her. I said, I just asked the Lord a question, and he told me to ask you, has your husband ever committed adultery on you? And she turned to me and she said, yes, he did 15 years ago, but I forgive him. I said, okay. And then the Lord said, just as clear, ask her if she's forgiven the woman. And so I said, how about the woman? Have you forgiven her? And this is what the woman did. I said, ma'am, there's your problem. Yeah, you forgave your husband when he committed adultery on you 15 years ago, but you did not forgive the woman. And now then, since you didn't forgive that woman, a demon of hell has come to you in your right breast, and it's going to cause, it has already caused breast cancer. And if you don't confess your sin and forgive that woman, I guarantee they'll cut that breast off. And after they cut that breast off, if you continue to hold it, it'll go to your other breast, and you're going to wind up without any breast. I said, is she worth that? She said, absolutely not. I said, then I believe I would forgive her. See, unforgiveness brings a demon to us. God said it in his word. I'm going to take you to the scripture that confirms to you about the demon coming up. If you'd asked me a few years ago, do you think God the Father would send a demon to torment you? What do you think my answer would have been? Well, I would have said, no way. God loves me. I mean, that's what I like to think, right? But he is my Father, right? Now then, did you have a father on this earth? I hope he was a good guy. Okay, it's a good, but did he ever spank you? Oh, a couple of times. Now surely a father that loves you wouldn't spank you. But he did, didn't he? Why do you think he spanked you? Because he did love you. That's a confirmed fact. The Word of God says when a daddy does not discipline his children, he does not love his children. That's what the Word of God says. We don't see God as our father that would use the devil to torment us. But he does. Well, I want you to see Matthew 18, 21 through 35. I want you to see this in here because it's clearly in God's word. It says, then came Peter to him and said, Lord, how often shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him seven times? I want to ask you a question. How many of you have ever had somebody that just worried the fool out of you up to seven times in one day and you forgive them seven times? Have you ever done that? Okay, if you are, you're not normal. You know what most people say? Even a husband and a wife. You know, a husband and a wife. I mean, the husband, if he done something to annoy you, okay, once, twice, three times, but after about three or four times, what do you tell him? You better straighten your act up, Buster. You can become a raging little critter yourself. I mean, who in the world can possibly forgive seven times in a day? If I annoy you in what I'm doing and seven times in a day and you don't like it, by the time the end of the day there, you're not going to forgive me seven times. I know very few people that can go there. Isn't that true? It's very hard to forgive seven times in a day. But Peter thought he was on safe ground. Lord, do I have to forgive my brother when he sins against me seven times in a day? Is that okay? And look at what Jesus said. Jesus said unto him, I say not unto thee seven times, but 70 times seven. Now, Jesus got to be crazy. Why in the world would he tell us to forgive somebody 70 times 7 in one day if they annoy us? When I got a hold of that, I thought there must be something extremely important about forgiving. If there was no consequence of no kind in the spirit world, why in the world would Jesus tell me to forgive somebody 70 times 7? Now, who do you know that can do that? I mean, it would take some kind of a Christian, wouldn't it? Some kind of a Christian. Unless we could figure out that the consequence at the end was so great. Now, let me ask you a question. If you knew there was going to be a punishment, if you didn't do what God says, I'll give the story of mine and Cheryl's little puppy. When we first got her, she was just a pound and a half, and she weighed about, a pound and a half, and she was about 6 weeks old or whatever. And so she didn't know nothing. And so after we got her and I opened the front door one day, she goes running out. She's a little lady now, 4, 5, 6 months old. And she'd been in the house because we didn't want her to get run over. She goes running out in the front yard. And of course, I holler at her, Lily, come back in here. And of course, she never even looked at me. She just kept right on running. She was out in a new world. She wanted to have fun. So she's looking at every blade of grass and running all over. And then she runs out toward the cows and barks at the cows. You know, here she's a little thing about this big. She thinks she is in control, that big 1,200 pound cow out there. I mean, she don't have a clue what, you know, what could happen to her. And then I keep calling her, Lily, come back here. Well, she ain't paying no attention to me at all. So then she goes over to my son's house. She goes around behind the house, and by this time I'm after her. I am running, and she is running in them little legs as hard as she can run, and she runs just about the same speed I can. I can't catch her. Of course, when she realizes she's in trouble, because here's this great big giant man that's after her. She's this little bitty tiny thing. She is running around, and she comes running back to the house, and she comes in the front door of the minister's center, which is open. She runs in under Cheryl's feet in her office because she knows she's in trouble. And I take my hat off. I had a little cap on. I take my cap off, and I crawl right in under that desk, right under Cheryl's legs, and I whop her on the backside. Whop, 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 whop. Cheryl said, what are you doing to my puppy? I said, I'm teaching her how to obey. I hit her at least 6 or 8 times with my cap. You know, and of course, that cap, you know, it don't hurt much, but it hurts because she's a little bitty thing. In fact, many times since then, Lily will run out the front door. Maybe Cheryl's with me. Maybe she's not. She'll run out there and Cheryl'll say, Lily, come back here. And Lily just keeps right on going. And she'll say, Lily, come back in here. You might get run over out here. And she just keeps right on going. She said, honey, will you call her? And I say, Lily. Boy, it's all it is. Now, why do you think she'll obey me when she won't obey Cheryl? I disciplined her. She remembers at the end of that voice, she remembers the consequence. Is that right, Randy? Now, do you think God would do that to us? He does it, but he does it in a spiritual way that we don't understand. So now let me show you this spiritual way. Let me give you an example of what Jesus said here. He said, not unto you 7 times, but 70 times 7. Therefore is the kingdom of heaven. Now, where is the kingdom of heaven? In us. That's exactly what the scripture says. We are the kingdom on this earth. God made a kingdom, and you and me are part of his kingdom. Therefore, the kingdom of heaven is likened unto a certain king, which is our master, which would take account of his servants, which is us. And when he had begun reckoning, one was brought to him that owed him 10,000 talents. Now, that would be a picture of you and me before we got saved. Did we owe a humongous debt? Some of us, our debt was bigger than others, but it didn't make any difference whether you had been the best person on earth. When you come to Jesus, you still were rotten. Or if you'd been the worst person on earth, you were very rotten. But his blood is big enough to pay for all of it. Is that right? Oh, and I'm so grateful for that. Oh, I'm so grateful for that. Thank you, Lord. And when he had begun to reckon, one was brought to him that owed him 10,000 talents. And that's about $4 billion almost, today's money. That's a lot of money. And so anyway, but for as much as he had not to pay, his Lord commanded him to be sold, and his wife to be sold, and his children to be sold, and all that he had in payment to be made. Now, most people read this and totally miss what he just said. Who is going to have to pay the consequence for this man's sin? The whole family, and what else? His financial world. In other words, his boats, cars, houses, airplanes, whatever he may have. Now then, stop and think. If I owed the Lord a debt, and I get into sin, and I get into unforgiveness, and I'm not willing to forgive, it's going to open the door to me, my wife, my children, and all that I own. So what does that leave out? Nothing. That's exactly right. Like that story I told you a while ago, that we wonder why children are born with cerebral palsy. And when I realize that these things are there, we get into sin, sexual sin, unforgiveness, all kinds of things. It opens the door to the demonic world to attack our children. Have you ever been asked this question? Do you believe that your sin could make you sick? Most people don't even believe that. But if I say, do you believe your sin could make your children sick? You never hear that, do you? We never hear that. Well, since I've learned this principle from God's Word, I have been able to get multitudes of children well that we had prayed for over and over and over for some of them years. And when I learned it was not their sin, they were born like that, so it couldn't be their sin. So I'd go to the parents and find out the mother's sin or the father's sin or both of them sin and get them to confess their sin and then pray the prayer of faith and see the child get well. And sometimes it was instantaneous. Awesome. Many times, over and over and over, I've seen this. Wow. And of course, one of those children I'm talking about is sitting right up there doing the Dave Rosenfeld. Dave, which worked for me for nearly 8 or 9 or 10 years, whatever it is now, he was born with an incurable disease. Now, we've seen many people healed of this disease, but Dave had only had it for 40 years when I met him. 40 years, he'd been sick. How would you like to have oozing, woozy sores all over your body and all over your feet, and you look like a terrible thing with pain and can't hardly even wear clothes? Well, look at him up there. That's the man sitting up there right now. That's Dave. Now, I mean, he's right here where he can confirm everything I tell you. But when I met Dave at a meeting just like this, I told him, I said, son, I don't care what's wrong with you. If you'll do what I tell you from God's word, I guarantee God will heal you. And of course, his first word to himself was, Mr. Scribner, you can't guarantee God will do anything. But can I? What will God do? He'll do exactly what he said in this book, right? And so, yes, I can guarantee you that if you do not obey God, that God will make you sick. I guarantee you that if you obey him, he'll make you well. I think about this story of how that it opens a door, unforgiveness opens a door to the man, his wife, his children, and all that he has, and then payment to be made. You could be a financially well-off man. You could have all kinds of things. You could drive the nicest cars, fly the best airplanes, have the nicest boats, live in the nicest houses and all kinds of things. And then you get into unforgiveness towards somebody and the devil will break you. He will break you and you'll get sick and afflicted and you will not be able to get out. It'll do all kinds of things to you and your children. Your children will do things that they would never normally have done. If you'd have raised them up in the kingdom of God, they would never went the ways of the world. But if you get into unforgiveness, they will go the ways of the world. They'll do the things the world tells them to do. They will not obey God because they don't realize there's a consequence, there's a condition to walk in health with God. Everybody wants to walk in health. I love it. For the first 30 years of my life, I didn't know these principles, and I was down in my back at least six times, and maybe eight, several times. And every time I'd go down in my back, guess who I would always go to for help? A doctor. Absolutely. Was I a Christian? Absolutely. Had I ever heard any of this teaching? No, never heard it. I didn't even know Jesus was a healer. I know he used to heal back there 2,000 years ago. I didn't know he still did it today. In the Baptist church I was raised up in, I never saw anybody get prayed for healing. I never saw anybody get healed.
You have been listening to Thurman Scribner of the Living Savior Ministries. We are going to stop our program here for today, but we will return at our next scheduled broadcast with more teaching. If you would like today's broadcast in its entirety, entitled We Live in a Faith Kingdom, or you would like any other Living Savior Ministries teachings on CD or DVD, we will be happy to send them to you free and postpaid. You can contact the Living Savior Ministries at 940-242-2106. That's area code 940-242-2106. You can also listen to any of the Living Savior Ministries teachings online or order them free and postpaid by going to the Living Savior Ministries website at www.tlsm.org. That's www.tlsm.org. Praise the Lord Jesus.